best you can buy.
Hanging with you here on America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about, and I hope that you have your umbrellas ready if you're in the East Coast anywhere, because some heavy rain is going to topple some amazing records already being set everywhere from New Jersey all the way down to the Carolinas. And we're talking about people with flooded basements. Oh, that's the worst. And as all of you know, I was just back east a week and a half ago, and when I arrived, in fact, it was hard to fly into the Philadelphia International Airport because so many of the planes were being rerouted from New York due to the extreme weather they were having and the high winds and the heavy, heavy rain. So there was flooding all over the place, and I saw it. I saw the flooding and how they're going to get slammed with more. And it's really tough when you have those basement situations, you have the water that seeps in. I mean, many of you can relate to flooding. But I think with it so close, at least I hope we're not going to see some terrible situations in some of these suburban areas. We move from that to a very, very big story that we talked about on the air. In fact, right when it happened, we were giving you details. That's what's so great about America Tonight. When you're listening, wherever you're listening, for the most part, we are live, unless it's that rare vacation day or two. But a lot of breaking news happens in other parts of the world and even here in the United States. So what happened was the subway attack in Moscow. Up to 38 people dead, and that's still the number we have later today from when this story first broke. So what they're saying now, and this I don't think is a surprise, a lot of us thought that this reeked of terrorism, and it is terror that they're talking about. Two deadly suicide bombings right in the heart of morning rush hour on this Moscow subway. And there was even an attack at the station beneath the headquarters of the secret police. So this was certainly planned. Two women believed to be suicide bombers are the ones apparently responsible for this. So in the meantime, Prime Minister Putin is waging a war. He's saying he's waging a war, certainly, against doing whatever he can to these terrorists, saying they will be destroyed. That's what he said on national television. You think of New York and the exhaustive things they do at the New York Metropolitan Transportation Authority. I watched it. I went into the subways several times when I was in Manhattan, and even going from Manhattan, what would be where Madison Square Garden is, back into New Jersey, so many police officers, so many dogs. I mean, big time. Sort of a heightened presence even just a week and a half ago, and now they've beefed that up somewhat, fearing that there may be other attacks in other places. So we'll give you some more of the gist of this investigation and what it's yielded, but what you need to know is here we go again. This time it's two women. See, anybody. Two women who were carrying out a jihadist act, and they're calling them the Black Widows. But, you know, one woman came into the doors and boom, just was obviously laced up with bombs. And that's at least the way it's being described. People were screaming. There was a stampede all over the place. You had a woman holding a child pleading to be let through, but it was impossible to go through. Here's the thing. Surveillance footage showed motionless bodies in the station lobby and emergency workers trying to treat them. And at the end of it, 102 injured, some of them pretty severely and some of them not as badly, but 38 people killed. Oof. See, there's no boundary to this. It's not necessarily just the U.S. rather, that's in danger here. The other big story that we were talking about is the militia roundup and the feds busting in three states to crack down on this Christian militias, what it's being called. So now that the charges were unsealed, and it's in fact nine people are being charged with plotting, so this is serious stuff, being charged with plotting to kill a, a cop and slaughter a whole bunch of other people by bombing the funeral in hopes of touching off some kind of an uprising against the government. It's seven men and one woman who were a part of this, allegedly, the Michigan-based militia, arrested over the weekend. As I said, there was raids in Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. The ninth person rounded up Monday night after searching through a very rural area in Michigan. So the feds move quickly here. And many of you called in and said, oh, you know, well, there's nothing wrong with forming a militia. And if this turns out these are trumped up things, here's the beginning of what could be something a whole lot worse. And we remember things that have happened in the past, and I certainly agreed with you if this turned out to be bogus and more smoke and mirrors and just gun charges. But here we see in connecting the dots, and I cautioned about that, in connecting the dots, it's definitely looking like the evidence. It's not just about these guns, that they're seizing these guns and these raids or these explosives, but it's that specifically the idea was, we're knocking off a cop, okay, and then all the boys and girls in blue are going to be at the funeral, and we're going to bomb the crap out of the funeral, and we're going to make a big anti-government statement. And there's no way, as much as any of us could be furious over some of the things that are happening politically, that we would condone this and think it's nothing but heinous if, in fact, all these dots are connected, and that's exactly what they were trying to do. So that's why that indictment was so tricky, and there weren't a lot of leaks on it. Just things about guns, but not very much. And it wasn't so much about the guns, but the attack and this whole idea that you would blow up the funeral then and kill just so many police officers and their loved ones and, you know, whatever. So they started this training camp in 2008, and the training camp, they were learning how to set off bombs and doing the gun thing. And the ringleader is a 44-year-old guy named David Brian Stone, one of his sons, also part of this group. And they organized, you know, weekend after weekend and had different names and sent people to different websites and all that sort of stuff. But they also had specific information laid out as to what they were going to do in the execution of a police officer and then ultimately people who would go to the funeral. So the police were the enemy in tracing everything that had been put together by the militia. And the idea was to attack them as they are part of the struggle, and the militia group is protecting the people against the U.S. government. And the idea of the police funeral was one of the biggest scenarios that they discussed as ways to nail flat-out law enforcement, and where you would have a big group of them, and it would be easy to knock them off. And other scenarios they were laying out included fake 911 calls to reel in an officer to his or her death, or calling an officer after a traffic accident specifically, or an attacking the family of a police officer. Ooh, nasty, nasty business. More on that group and some of the other things that are trickling in. But next, finance, finance, finance. Money woes. Are they going to turn around? We'll talk about it with Saul Album here on America Tonight.
As the economy continues to decline, patriots across the nation are preparing for the worst. The world is changing fast. Are you fully prepared? Or will you be forced to eat government soup? At PatriotFood.com, we offer you 135 pounds of dehydrated food and six varieties of canned meat for half price. And at SurvivalistSeeds.com, we now offer 50 non-GMO varieties of vegetables, and over 10,000 heirloom seeds. That's twice as many as our competition for the same price. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Food insurance, just in case. Owned by me, Big John Lipscomb.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
To see you when I wake up is a gift I didn't think could be real.
Hey, check this out. In odds and ends, NASA is jumping in to help Toyota figure out what's wrong with the accelerating. In the cars. Yeah, the NASA engineers are going to try to lend a hand. Hey, they don't have anything else to do because they're being cut back so much. No, you know, we're not going to be doing too much in the way of space exploration, so why not? Here, you can try to help us out. It makes sense to me. America Tonight, as we stroll over to the money department and our financial guru friend, Saul Albom, joins us. Hey, Saul, how are you?
Have some of the drunk astronauts help them out, you know, with the crash test dummies and figuring out that accelerator, huh?
Well, the good thing is, because they know how to stay in diapers for long periods of time, they don't have to take coffee breaks or breaks. They can just stay at it until they figure out what's wrong with the problem, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're absolutely
better
equipped. Couldn't be any worse than the engineers there already.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so let me ask you about this first. We've talked about the housing woes and the numbers and all that sort of stuff. And I had somebody on America Tonight in the real estate business last week talking about short sales and that a lot of people were going the route of the short sale so that they didn't have to go with foreclosure. But how many short sales will kill a housing market, I guess? Somebody wins and somebody loses if you're forced to do that, but it's not a foreclosure after all. Is it, you know, from a financial sense, if your back is up against the wall and you owe a bunch of money, is this the best thing to do? Is it better than nothing?
You know, it just depends. Now, of course, this is individual advice, so, you know, talk to your stockbroker, you know, the guy that's supposed to know something and really doesn't. And it depends on your situation. And, you know, if sometimes there's private guys out there that, and I have some friends that do that, that just say, hey, you know, give me the keys to your house, sign it over, I'll pay for everything. And you walk away, no dings on your credit, you walk away, but you lose the equity on your house. It just depends where you're at. And the problem is what happens is if you give them the keys to your house, you sign the paperwork, and then they don't pay the mortgage. And you're stuck with bill. I've heard of that happening. So the big problem, yeah, it's like, you know, hey, I have a car. I'm going to sell you my car so you can take the keys, you take the title, and guess what? The check bounces.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure the cash, you have a contract and the cash paid up. That's about the only thing. The second thing is the short sales. Yeah, you can walk out of it, but make sure you're not getting screwed. You know, basically is you're going to lose money on the deal, but you're going to keep your credit. Okay? So it's how much is that credit worth to you? Is it, if you're going to lose $5,000 on the deal, then is that worth your credit? Is it you're gonna, are you going to lose $20,000? Is that worth your credit? So it just depends in each particular case. Now, if I owed a lot of money, I couldn't afford it, and the bank needed to get liquidated, but would I lose, let's say, $100,000 for my credit? No, I wouldn't take that. But maybe $5,000 I would lose out on to keep my credit, walk away, I might do that. Okay,
yeah,
but just
great
make sure
advice.
You're not screwed, because you actually that actually happens every now and then. People just, the check bouncing.
Oh, that's not good. Hey, this headline I read today in the Wall Street Journal, just a headline, oil rises 3%, but OPEC may open the spigot. And they're talking about, and you and I know this, the crude oil price is rising up, you know, gaining, I don't know, 3% somewhere in that neighborhood. And the reason is because now there's supposedly this evidence out there that the economy, the global economy, not just the U.S. economy, is strengthening. But geez, I think there's other things that might say investors are a little wary of where we're going in the future. So what does that mean? OPEC could, if they open the spigot, that changes things, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, OPEC controls, oh gosh, last I remember, about 60%, 70% of the oil output in the world. And, you know, raising a few percentage points can make a big difference in oil and gas prices. So if they turn on the spigot, we may see, you know, a few dollars go down, up and down. But here's the thing for your investors is that all domestic oil is profitable at about $50 to $60 a barrel. Okay, I don't care where it is, what it's doing, you know, how much it costs to do it. At $60 a barrel, you can make money on that. So that's why I am exposed. I have a lot of stuff that I'm doing in the oil and gas industry because I don't see oil going down, or down very much. So that's why I'm into it. And second is, even if they turn on the spigots, it may go down, but I don't see it. I see gas prices continue to raise. I think the parts of the world are recovering. India is getting, the rest of the world doesn't have to recover. It's that India and China are getting cars. If you take the average miles driven, okay, with every person in the U.S., it comes to about, 18 miles a day, okay?
Right.
Now, because there's so few people in China, it comes out to about 1.5 few people in China with vehicles. So few people in China with vehicles that the average mile per day is like 1.8. Okay, so all China has to do is like raise their average miles per person driven to like 3, and we have another oil shock.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not even counting India. It's pretty much the same with India. You know, Tata's coming out with their, 1,000-rupee car, you know, their 10,000-rupee car, which is like $1,000. It's like basically the Fred Flintstone, Fred Flintstone would be.
That's right. You just use your feet. Keep going.
There's no dinosaur. Right. You know, it's probably safer than a dinosaur, actually. But
kidding. Hey, here's another one I want to throw out at you. The FDIC chair named Sheila Bair told CNBC, I was watching today, that she's saying, go ahead, thumbs up on placing a tax on large banks. So that would shield taxpayers, supposedly, if there is another bank failure and pins all the financial problems or the liabilities on the shareholders and the creditors instead. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, that's exactly where the punishment should lie is that if you loan money to a stupid industry like Citigroup or GM, you should lose all your money. Okay, we don't just live in a profit society, or we live in a profit and loss society.
That's right.
Okay, where people need to lose. It's like you're gonna play a basketball game and nobody loses. It's not the way the world works, okay? In order for there to be progress, people have to take risk and lose, and that's fine, okay? This is America. We're fine to lose. As a matter of fact, if someone wins all the time, we make fun of them and, you know, kick them. We're jealous.
You know, that's right.
Not like everyone who wins all the time. That's not American. Okay, so anyway, so that's exactly where it should be, and the viewers know my position. The whole banking system should have collapsed. One day we'll get into this. Fractional reserve banking is a fraud, and government policies are keeping up these inflationary bubbles. I mean, that's a whole other digression we could talk about. But basically, I like the plan. I don't like the tax, but I like the plan where shareholders and people that loan money to dumb companies have to be accountable. Period. The end. That's American.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I knew you were going to give me a good one. All right, so, Album, it's always fun to chat with you on this show. We appreciate the time and the info, buddy.
You got it. Oh, and happy birthday, Kate. What are you, like, 26, 27?
Yes, I'm going to be 28, in fact.
28, all right. I'll hook you up with my brother. All right, happy birthday, Kate.
You're so funny. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, so, he blew it. The deal is that when I was 16, I wanted to be 28. So I'm somewhere a little bit over that. And it's not yet my birthday. On the East Coast, it would be my birthday. But in other parts of the country, I haven't quite hit that. So the deal that we were just discussing there with Saul is interesting. I'm happy that now Europe and the U.S. are moving a lot closer to the decision to tax the large banks, because he's right. Why should they have gotten off scot-free in the past? They shouldn't have been bailed out. Too big to fail. Well, really? How about the rest of us? Why should we fail? Our whole lives we've paid taxes and done what we thought was the right thing, and then something happened. So I think it's a thumbs-up move as well. The idea that we didn't have a system in place when we lent the money to the banks is infuriating enough. Oh, did you? What'd you do with the money? Oh, we paid some bonuses. So let's not have that happen again. You have the small and the mid-sized banks that will probably, though, struggle much more than the larger banks because of the commercial real estate market. So that's going to be a problem. Commercial real estate's in trouble in so many areas. The commercial real estate loan business is in the toilet for the most part. So this bank tax, I think, is a very, very wise move. We're going to take you around the world in just a second here on ATN.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
HempUSA.org urges everyone to plan ahead for possible food shortages in the future. We offer this dense, nutrient-storable food directly from the farm to your door. What the world needs is our energy-packed hemp food in a storable, portable form that can easily and quickly be picked up for travel. This food contains readily available protein, amino acids, essential fatty acids, digestive enzymes, and major minerals. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. And with prices rising in every sector, the investment in your future is critical to have some storable food available. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, so be practical and be wise. Call 908-691-2608 and place your order today. If food shortages don't come, you can always rotate our hemp foods back into your daily food supply. To place your order, learn more, and see numerous other great products, visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
How would you like to own a pair of the most unique gloves in the world? Call right now at 877-552-5206. The only glove that improves your grip and is so touch sensitive it feels like you have nothing on. Call right now at 877-552-5206. MaxFit Gloves by O'Neill Innovations introduces a new scientific breakthrough on thin glove technology with a glove that is so unique, we are offering this limited radio promotion a $40 value for four pairs of the famous MaxFit gloves for only $19.95. That's right, four pairs of MaxFit gloves, but you gotta act right now. 877-552-5206. For more information, go to MaxFitGloves.com. That's MaxFitGloves.com. Or call right now at 877-552-5206 for this limited radio promotion.
Make your hands go.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to begin? Do you fear your job is in jeopardy, or is your business income reduction keeping you awake at night? We're in the best time in 25 years to make a fortune in real estate, and you can do it without using your money or credit and replace any job or business income within 90 days. My name is Ron LeGrand, and I've taught over 500,000 people to do just that and personally bought almost 2,000 houses and millions in commercial real estate. If you'll call 800-761-5821 and leave your name on my voicemail, I'll send you my hot new CD, Foreclosure Fortunes, and a complete guide to help you get started absolutely free. I'll show you how to build a six-figure income part-time with no previous experience and no license required, even if you're a busy professional. Call 800-761-5821, 24 hours, and get my $69 CD and report free. Take your life back and turn this recession into the best year ever. Again, that's 800-761-5821.
Shoots back. The Vatican says it's like salt in the wounds, talking about all the critics of the sex abuse victims. I mean, come on, give me a break here. Silence is not gold, and it never was in the case of what happened to so many of the people, so many of the men who were young boys that were abused by a trusting parish priest. I said this in a previous show. There are many wonderful people who serve in the clergy and are incredible educators and are wonderful with the children. So, yes, it's like anything in life. You cannot just have a blanket statement. But it was crazy how much abuse went on under the church's nose, and they just shuffled them over to other parishes. So this is such an outrage that I think people have had enough of hearing about the Catholic Church and the molestings and all that sort of stuff. When you find out that allegedly you had a priest who molested 200 deaf boys, and you would think the Vatican would just come down to its knees and say, oh, horrific. what's happened here. And as we've said in more recent times, since we ignored it before, you know, this will not be tolerated. But instead, they have defensive, archaic responses to these cases. So, you know, you have a guy that comes out and speaks to the media. A 61-year-old man, imagine carrying that around in his heart for so long. He holds a news conference outside the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist that the Pope is trying to protect himself against all the criticism of his handling of especially the Wisconsin case against the Reverend Lawrence Murphy, because Murphy was accused of molesting those 200 boys at the school, St. John's School for the Deaf, from 1950 to 75, and never, ever was excommunicated or lost the right to call himself a priest. You know, he was a priest. That was it. So all those wounds that these people are carrying around, and I don't blame anyone for speaking out at this point, and shame on the Vatican for being so defensive, and that's what's happening. Some of the top Roman Catholic officials are said it's like rubbing salt into the deep wounds already of us, of the Catholics, and those who have been victimized and disillusioned by the Catholic Church, by all this criticism and speaking out about the Vatican. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's good to open the eyes of some people who, devout Catholic or not, better to know what has happened in the past and deal with it than just to completely ignore it and bury your head in the sand. And I know there are a lot of people, just like in other religions, who have been slammed for different things, who feel like they're being conspired against somehow, and that all holy hell, for lack of a better way of putting that, is raining down upon the church. But that's just ludicrous. And good for the people who have come out and spoke up against what happened with this Lawrence Murphy. For all those years, he was able to get away with what he got away with. I think anyone who wants to get it off their chest, they should feel like they should do that. And there were a lot of victims that are now having news conferences and talking out, and even at one point around the Vatican holding up signs saying, "Stop attacking us. I'm not despicable." And that's right, they aren't. They were the victims in this case, and you know, they never saw justice served. So I can't feel badly for what's happening in that those circumstances. All right, we move to a couple of other things making news outside of our borders. Certainly that's not the only thing. I mentioned at the top of this, sadly, the situation in Moscow, where they're calling them the Black Widows and ultimately ripping apart a subway system and killing so many people and injuring others. And there were people, and you could see it on the surveillance tape, as I mentioned, where there were bodies that were just laying on the ground. It does give you a little insight, though, into seeing the women that were apparently, at least some of the video, from what I'm told, some of that security video does show somebody coming in, one of the women, so you can see obviously what was going on there. And the police have killed several Islamic militant leaders recently, including one last week. So there were fears that there could be some kind of a retaliatory strike and perhaps bloodshed as a result of this. But this is one of the first attacks in Moscow on certainly innocent people on their way to work in 6 years. And the bombings show that those who feel that they were wronged, the militants, were easy to snap back at Mother Russia, and that's exactly what happened at 8 o'clock in the morning. Wow, just tore through the underbelly, or the carriage, if you will, of the train as it was there at the metro station, and the headquarters of what they call the FSB, Russia's main domestic security service, pretty much the successor to the KGB, okay, is just right there above the station. So the first bomb goes off, and then another one 40 minutes later, hitting another car of a train that was waiting at another metro station and killing 14 people in that. And it's typical what you hear, just like you would if when things happen in the United States, people are just shell-shocked. They're injured. They're getting off of the train, trying to crawl out of the station and saying that everybody's screaming and there's a stampede and they saw dead people. And you know, then you set up a MASH unit and they're trying to help as many people as possible. So now, and so often, we have been on the other side of this, that you have our president condemning what he called the outrageous attacks, and that the American people stand united with the people of Russia in opposition to violence. So violent extremism is specifically what our president said. And the Kremlin is saying that, you know, they're going to do whatever they can, turn over every rock, basically, to find the specific folks responsible for it. Because the Moscow subway system is one of the busiest. I didn't realize this, but in doing a little quick research on this, 7 million people on an average work day. And it's a pretty choked up city and then sprawling in the outskirts. So it was paralyzing on the city center and the main roads once this happened. You know, the helicopters all over the place. And the one station that was hit was next to a famous area called Gorky Park, a very busy area, to say the least. So it was the height of rush hour, scary, scary stuff for the people in Russia. Also overseas, we had a bomb exploding in Athens. Boy, I hate to make this all negative. Killing, though, just one person, injuring two. And here again, in trying to track who set off the bomb immediately at the top of the list, you know, the police are thinking, not necessarily someone on our soil. Perhaps this is the work of some kind of a terrorist. I think now, whenever anything happens with bombs, that's the first thing that you see coming out of the crawls and, you know, the 24-hour cable stations. The first assumption is always that. But the police, after further review, are thinking this was just a blind act of violence, and they're looking at the explosives, and they're trying to find, you know, what you always try to find in a bomb blast, the timer. So they can't say at this point who's behind it, because they're piecing together everything that would lead the trail of, you know, sadly, the nasty breadcrumbs to who might be responsible. Now, in that area, they've got a bunch of radical anarchist groups that have recently had a bunch of bombings in the last couple of years, mostly as statements against wealth and power. Banks have been targeted, the Athens Stock Exchange, if you remember. Usually, though, there is a warning call and then the explosion to try to make sure everybody's out of the area. So it's like they're trying to clear the area but make the statement. So the death was the first one that they've had since 1999, when they had a bomb outside of a hotel that accidentally, they say, killed a conference worker. So this doesn't look to be Islamic extremists, but what they were saying didn't seem like it was homegrown. Looks like it might actually be homegrown terrorists. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about the storms that I mentioned starting to rain in the East Coast. Heavy, heavy rain. How much? We got a prediction.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then FreeToProsper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit FreeToProsper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit FreeToProsper.com today.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
Somebody, hey, big shout out to everyone on the East Coast, because you could be floating down your street in the next 2 days. Somebody who's just been there, I know all about it, but I'll tell you, it used to be, if the rainstorms, you know what I'm talking about, you guys know what I'm talking about, those lightning storms, those incredible lightning storms, were great cuddle moments, okay? But not anymore. There's no cuddling involved. You are shoring up everything in the house to make sure, sandbagging out front, that you're not going to get washed away. because there, you see these rivers that are rising, and we've got now this next round of flooding. It's got to be the wettest March on record, I'm assuming, in some of those areas. In fact, the National Weather Service is already posting flood warnings and advisories all the way from Maine to the Carolinas. We're talking about 5 to 7 inches of rain over the next 3 days. And some of those rivers are so swollen that they're just right to overflow. And you got people that are trying to still bail out that flooded basement from some of the storms recently in the East Coast. So you got the Massachusetts governor, Deval Patrick, already declaring a state of emergency, has 1,000 National Guardsmen ready to assist anybody. There a lot of people are already doing the sandbagging thing, and flood zones especially. If you live in a flood zone, ooh, and you know that it's just tricky business with the way the rivers are. I noticed that when I was back in the East and I was in New York and in New Jersey, whether it was Cooper River outside of Camden or I was up north in New York, you could see how high the water was. It's kind of cool when you're, you know, looking across at the bridge and you see the water, but not so cool when you live right over that bridge, right in the area that they're talking about. It was just the 13th and the 15th where they had 10 inches of rain. And in fact, in Boston, they say it's the rainiest March on record. It's getting close to it because the one previous to that was 53. They had 11 inches, but now they're pretty much almost there. And with this rain coming, it'll be over that. That's why the state of emergency, but not just in Massachusetts. I know there are a lot of you listening to us in the great state of Connecticut, and the Connecticut governor is saying the same thing. Listen, we've already opened up the state's emergency operations center, and we've posted all these flood warnings are up in the rivers and the streams, and we're even going toward the road closures. And road closures are not only just in Connecticut, but in New Jersey, because in New Jersey they already had 2 inches of rain overnight, and so the flood warnings are there. Mm. Mother Nature, what do I tell you? Every show we got to spend at least a few minutes on Mother Nature. Last time we were on the air, I mentioned tornadoes and how bad some of these tornadoes were. They had some in the look around the world. I didn't mention this, but they had some awful tornadoes that actually toppled over a crane at one of the ports in the Bahamas. 3 people were killed. The strength of the tornado is mind-boggling. You see, it's like you see it chomping everything in its way, and this crane at Freeport, which is a very busy area, at the container port there, just, you know, trees were uprooted, windows were blasted out of hotels, and this one tornado, which was on the island about, well, how far is Freeport? Maybe 60 miles or something outside of Florida, east of Florida. The crane just pulled up, and 2 people were inside. It fell. Both of the people in the crane died. I mean, just lifted off like it was going to take off like a weapon almost, and then some other people in the path of it also killed. They were working on a couple of things, doing some maintenance, and it just came crashing down. It was just ripped up from the ground. You think of how much a crane weighs. That pretty much tells you the strength of a tornado. Just came coming out of nowhere and looked to the people on the ground like any other kind of rainstorm. And you know, hurricanes are common in the Bahamas, but tornadoes are pretty rare. Maybe, you know, every once in a while they'll see a tornado, but that's not what they're looking for. They're really looking more for the possibility of a hurricane, and they certainly get warnings with the hurricanes. And some other odds and ends. We've talked about this now for a while here on the show. How would you feel about not getting postal service on Saturday? Well, the U.S. Postal Service is really bleeding, and I don't think they have much of a choice. They're talking seriously about cutting Saturday delivery, but it wouldn't start to the first half of 2011. And they're put a plan together So they're seriously discussing it. The Postal Service is forecasting a $238 billion budget deficit by 2020. If they cut out the one day, they could save $3.3 billion in the first year by eliminating all the deliveries just that one day. And then you just ramp it up $5.1 billion a year by 2020. And they're trying to move as quickly as they can so they're not belly up by the time 2020 comes. I don't know, five-day delivery. At first I was like, ah, bummer. I kind of like you run errands, you go check the mail because I still get some kind of interesting mail. And then I really, honestly, most things are online, and it really we're headed that way. It's all about paperless. When you get your bills, if you get it the old-fashioned way, don't you always notice there's a thing that says you can go paperless, you go paperless tomorrow. So we're absolutely headed in that direction. It's like checks. How long do till we don't have any more checks? Or you get that brick of checks in the mail, but you get it once every 3 years because you hardly ever write a check. So with the Postal Service, there's so many other ways to deliver the mail. That's number one, the competition. But the letter department, where people were writing letters, sending cards, you still get cards, but not the amount that you used to get, because even now they have e-cards. Anybody really in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, for the most part, a lot of that's gone by the wayside. And people aren't just buying stamps, where stamps used to be cheaper. Just slap a stamp on it. Maybe some, I'd really be curious if the postcard sending is down. Everywhere you go, I mean, I don't care where, I don't care if you live in a little town, a giant metropolis, or you're going three towns over to visit your aunt, go in some drugstore, CVS or Walgreens or the local drugstore, whatever, somewhere you can find a postcard. People were always used to be big about sending postcards. It's so easy to keep in touch with someone. Hey, having a great time in Vegas, but you know what they say. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but I can't really tell you anything on this postcard, but wait till I get back. I'll buy you a cold one and spill the beans or something. And then, poof, you're done. You've been in touch with that person. But with texting, I mean, people are texting like crazy. All ages are texting. So the immediacy of keeping in touch with somebody now, I think, is eliminating the old and what's now becoming the old-fashioned ways to put a stamp on it and mail your thoughts. And that makes sense to me that they would go now thinking that to the 5 days. It may even get, at one point, it might even get cut to 4 days. But then what happens to all the people that have those jobs? You think that would shrink as well? All right, if you have any thoughts, I'll give you a penny for them if you just send me an email, americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?